Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Money, money, money. We all need it, we all want it, and we definitely can't stop talking about it. Especially during these times. Inflation is going up, which is driving the cost of everything, from food to clothes. Even gas prices are going up. It's a lot harder now to stretch a dollar. So let's get you the tools you need to help you make more money. On today's episode, I've got Canadian YouTuber Rennie the Resource. We talk all things about Canadian financial literacy, as well as talk about Rennie, the accomplishments she's made, and what's next for the YouTuber. I hope you acquire the knowledge and gather the tools to help you rack up them coins, because it's all about the Benjamins, baby. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Shot of Melanin. On today's episode, I have a special guest, which I'm going to allow her to introduce herself. She's a big person here, so I'll let her introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rennie, also known as Rennie the Resource. I am a full-time content creator based in Toronto, Canada, and I make content about financial literacy, career development, and lifestyle on my YouTube channel. So that's a little bit about me. Thanks for having me, Michelle.
No problem. So we're just going to go right into it. Now, when did you get the idea that you wanted to start a YouTube, and what made you decide to choose the topics that you did?
So I decided to start my YouTube in May of 2020, and it was because I was really bored at home, you know, with the pandemic. We were in a deep lockdown at that time, so I just had a lot of extra time because I wasn't commuting for 2 hours a day. So I was like, I kind of want to start a YouTube channel, but I've wanted to start one for a pretty long time. I just think that because I had so much extra time, there was no reason not to start one at that time. And I also had recently purchased my first house in 2020. So everyone was like, what? How did you buy your house? How did you do this? And I was like, guys, I've been telling you about this for so long. I've been talking about investing since I was 18. Like, I've been talking about this for so long. And people were like, nope, we need all the answers. So they were like, I was like, okay, do you want me to do it in a YouTube video? And they were all like, yes, do it. So that was my basically leap into YouTube. And the reasons I chose those topics was because I guess financial literacy is something that comes really naturally to me. My parents have taught me about it since I was really young. Career development is something I just learned a lot about, and I was able to get promoted every single year because of the tips that I learned. So I thought, why don't I just make this into a very accessible, share it with other people in a very accessible way. And then lifestyle, I just like showing what I do in my life. So I was like, let me add that in to my channel. So yeah,
that's a bit important. Yes, I recently saw you went to Dubai.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. How was Dubai?
It was really nice. It was my 31st country that I've been to. So it was really nice, especially escaping Toronto's winter. You know, it's really nice to go anywhere warm, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. 100%. What was your favorite part about your trip?
Skydiving, I think. I jumped out of a plane.
You did go skydiving. I was like, girl, you brave.
Yes. Yes, I just had to jump out of a plane. They were not, but I didn't tell them before I jumped. That's the key, you know? I told them after I jumped.
Well, it looked like you had a good time. If you guys don't follow Rennie on Instagram, you get all the good stuff, all the juice from lifestyle to financials, and of course, a little bit of her traveling that she shared with her subscribers. And so that's how I was able to find out that you went to Dubai. I'm like low-key stalking you. It's probably a little bit creepy. But I like the fact that you were able to, you know, drop gems, for example, of like how to save for a trip. And then you also have things like how to save a certain amount of money, like what are your, how much to put in per month so that you could like have by the end of the year or month or what have you, that amount of money by the end of that goal that is being set. So I think if you guys don't follow Rennie, you need to follow her on her social medias. I will give Rennie the chance at the end of the episode to do a plug-in. Now, the average age of our listeners are between 23 and 27 years old. But we do have some younger listeners. So we are talking between the ages of 18 and 22. So let's get them financially ready so that by the time they are in their 30s, they can have some sort of financial success. What are some good financial strategies that young people can start incorporating in their lives? So methods of making money, saving, or financial strategies that you can give them?
So the first thing I would tell everybody is to start a budget. Budgeting is something that really helped me. And I started it, I guess, when I started working my first big girl job, you know, and I was making a bit of money. And I was like, I'm spending so much money every month. Like, what is going on? But I didn't realize how much I was spending until I actually wrote down what was coming in each month and what was coming out of my account each month. And then I was like, oh, I am spending entirely too much on clothes, shoes, whatever categories it was, especially food. I love food, so I spend a lot of money in that category. So the first thing I would say for everyone, no matter what age you are, is to start a budget and basically see what's coming into your account each month and what's coming out. And that's the only way you can basically see where you can cut back on, or if you need to make more money to sustain that lifestyle that you want to sustain. And that's what I did. I was like, I want to keep spending money on food, so I have to make a bit more money if if I want to keep doing this. So that would be my first thing. The second thing would be to make your money work for you. I know we hear this a lot, like make money in your sleep, blah, blah, blah. It's not a Forex scam, don't worry. It's actually me telling you that yes, you should be making your money work for you by putting it in an asset that can grow. So for example, you can put it in the stock market, buy a share of a company, and then your money can grow that way. So that's how I actually purchased my first house. I basically was buying stocks since the time I was 18. And by the time I was 23, I was able to buy my house because it had grown to such a point that I was able to purchase my first house. So start making your money work for you. And there are lots of other ways to do that, but that would be the main way.
Mm-hmm. And so if somebody's starting in stocks, what is the best advice that you have? Like, I'm clueless. I know nothing about stocks. Where do I go? How can I tell that I'm purchasing a good stock? Are there maybe resources for this that you might suggest? Is it best that they do it themselves and use applications? If so, what apps do you suggest? Or would you suggest that they go to like a financial institution and speak to somebody who's more knowledgeable?
So I guess it just depends on that person and what they want to do. I would say there's no one size fits all for this. So there are two options. As you said, you can get someone to do it for you, or you can do it yourself. I interviewed a financial advisor and he told me, ask yourself these three questions before you make your decision. So the first question that you want to ask yourself is, do I have the knowledge and expertise to do my investing? If the answer is no, are you willing to learn whether or not, are you willing to learn about investing? If the answer is still no, then in that case, you don't need to ask yourself any more questions. You should just hire someone to do it on your behalf, right? But if the answer is yes to that first question, then you ask yourself, do you have the time to dedicate to managing your portfolio? If the answer is yes, then you ask yourself, do you have the desire to manage your portfolio? If the answer is yes for all three of those questions, then you can go ahead and do DIY investing. But if the answer is no for any of those, maybe consider looking for a financial advisor or somebody. It doesn't have to be a financial advisor. You can do a robo-advisor, which is basically a robot who will manage your investments. Or there are lots of other options that are, it's not all on you. And then the other option, again, would be to do DIY. So when you are doing DIY, the most important thing to do is research. Research what you are investing in before you invest in it. And you don't have to buy a stock, like an individual stock. You can buy a group of stocks. So index funds or ETFs, which are exchange traded funds, which is basically like a basket of stocks. So it's mixed up. So say instead of just buying one share of Apple, I'm going to buy Apple and Microsoft and Tesla and all of these different companies. So your risk is spread out between all of those different companies. So that's where I would suggest that most beginners start. And then once you get a bit more comfortable buying these index funds or ETFs, then you can switch to buying an individual stock if you feel like you've done enough research about it. But always, I would say always start with those index funds and those ETFs, especially for beginners.
And for those ETFs and index funds, if we're looking at applications, do you know of any applications for Canadians to use?
Yes. Yeah, so applications like Wealthsimple or Questrade would be good ones that you can look into. I am actually an ambassador for Wealthsimple, and you can start with just $1. So it's really good. You don't even have to, with all the other applications, except for I think one other in Canada, you have to buy a full stock. So if the stock costs, say, $100, you're going to have to put a full $100 into that stock in order to buy it. But with Wealthsimple, you can just buy $1 worth of that company, and then you can add more once you feel a bit more comfortable. So that's what I really like, and it makes investing more accessible for the everyday person. If you don't want to go with one of those independent companies, you can also just go with your bank. So TD, BMO, any bank would pretty much have an investing platform. The only difference is they'll charge you a bit more money compared to those independent companies. So they have their pros and cons. You know, I have a video on the difference between the two if anyone wants to watch it on my YouTube channel.
For sure. And I'll make sure that I'll link it into our show notes so that if they want more information, they can go and check you out. Perfect. Now, we've been going through a lot, as you know, in a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Gas prices are ridiculous.
Yep.
So what are some ways that we as Canadians can make some extra income right now?
I guess.
What are your suggestions?
I would say investing is a good way to make extra income. Like if you have a stable source of income right now, putting that money into an investment is a great way to make more money for you, basically. So my dad always told me that it's your job to go and make money, but then it's your money's job to make more money for you. So instead of leaving in a savings account, for example, you'll put it in a stock, you'll put it in crypto, you'll put it in any other investment, real estate, any other investment. But obviously some people are not comfortable with that. So things like Airbnb, if you have an extra room in your place, you can make a good amount of money just Airbnb-ing it, you know?
Or, that's smart.
Yeah. Or if you have a car and maybe you don't drive it. Well, gas is a little pricey, so I don't know how feasible this is right now. But a lot of people are doing DoorDash, Uber Eats, Instacart, those sorts of things. And you can make a good amount if you are willing to dedicate the time and money to it. But I always like to emphasize passive forms of income, so it doesn't require you to actively go out and do the work. Your money is just making money for you, which is why I emphasize the investing and different things like that.
So as you were saying, putting money into something, you were mentioning crypto. I am completely lost on what crypto is. I have no idea.
Yes.
What's crypto?
Honestly, it is a very confusing topic, and I feel like it's not the most accessible thing for everyone. So I don't feel like everyone needs to really get into it, but it is essentially a digital method, a digital currency. Let's say that. That's the easiest way I can put it. So you are able to, how do I word this very simply? The Canadian dollar is basically attached to the Bank of Canada. So the Bank of Canada is the one that issues it. Digital currency, for example, Bitcoin, Ethereum, all of those different ones that we know, they are not connected to any centralized system. So it allows for deregulation. And I don't know a simple way to put this, honestly. It's kind of a confusing topic. But yeah, it allows you to, it's a medium of exchange, just like a dollar, but it's decentralized, unlike the dollar or any other fiat currency. So yeah. Do you need to know about it? Like, it may be the future. If you're interested in it, obviously I encourage people to do research, but I feel like it's a very volatile space compared to the stock market or any other form of investment that I really know of.
Do you feel as though crypto in the future might actually be a form of payment more? I know that it is right now for certain things, but do you think it will end up being some form of payment in the future? Like, you'll be able to actually pay using some sort of cryptocurrency.
I do think we're going there, but again, I'm not an expert, but from what I see, I feel like things are moving that way. So that's why I have started investing in crypto, but I'm not heavily invested in it. Financial advisors actually suggest that you put no more than 1% of your net worth in crypto. So that's exactly what I'm doing. Not much is in there at all. Yeah.
And in terms of crypto, what are the ones that we should probably look at or maybe consider investing in? Which one would you say?
Yeah. I don't really give advice on what people should invest in just because I'm not a financial advisor, but I can tell you what I have invested in if you want to know. Sure. So I own Bitcoin, I own Ethereum, I own Solana. I own Solana, I own Matic or Polygon. So those are four that I own. And I like to stick to the big coins that are well established. There are like the well-known established coins, and there are some smaller coins that I just don't play around with. So yeah, those are some of the ones that I currently own.
Honestly, all this financial stuff, I'm learning. I'm 33 years old. The only thing that I knew about was, of course, investing, stocks, bonds, all of those stuff. I was explained never, I mean, I wouldn't say never, but try to more so invest your money into investments rather than just have it sitting in a savings account, because the interest that you incur in a savings account is peanuts. Like, what, maybe you'll get 10 cents, 50 cents. I don't know. Depends on the bank. So to hear a lot of these terms like NFTs and crypto, and, you know, it's definitely something that I'm educating myself on as well, and seeing like, is there, like, can I invest in this? Is this a good idea? But because, for example, things like crypto is so new to me, and I think it's not even that, like, it's not, it hasn't been around for a very, very long time.
Exactly.
I'm a little hesitant in terms of investing in things like that. So I understand. I'm learning things as much, and I'm 33, and I'm still trying to figure things out, especially in the financial department. But I did really want to have this conversation because, for one, you were able to buy a house at the age that you are. I only bought my house at 28. But I didn't buy it on my own. Mm-hmm. You bought yours on your own. So I just kind of wanted to know, what was it like to, you know, be the first one, I'm assuming out of your friends, to say, I got a house.
Yeah. I actually had one other friend who purchased a house, and I feel like a lot of my friends have purchased houses now, and I just bought mine 2 years ago. So, but to be the first one, I guess, because I would think,
or maybe at your age, because I would, me 23, no, I didn't have that. I only got it at 28.
Yeah.
What's that like, being in your early 20s and bought a place?
I guess I don't know any different, right? So to me, it just seems like the norm. I will say that I didn't like save the, or I didn't invest the money thinking I would buy a house at 23. My dad basically he was asking me how investing is going. I was like, oh, I have this much money. And he was like, okay, next, go buy a house. And I was like, no, I do not want to buy a house. And he was like, go and buy a house. It's a much better decision than keeping it here. You'll make so much more. Your like investment will grow more. So I was like, ugh, okay. And I'm really glad that I did, you know. But yeah, my friends, I feel like they were very happy for me. And now a lot of them have purchased their houses now. So I think it was a good thing for me to do. And hopefully I'll buy another one. Not sure about this market, but hopefully I'll be able to buy another one.
Yeah, too. Yeah. This market is a little, I don't know if it's gonna pop, but it's the interest rates are starting to go up now, and the prices of our houses are especially going up. So the housing in this area was maybe in the 400 for townhouses and about 700 for detached houses. And now our townhouse on our street are going up for 900, $1 million. And I'm like, and you have to pay condo fees on top of that?
That's wild. Yeah, mine, I bought it in 2020. And now it's $780,000 that someone just sold on my street. Yeah. And it's two years later. I'm like, you guys are wild. That's wild. Yeah.
Everybody wants to get their foot into it. So I completely, you know, understand. And this was a whole mindset about maybe financial literacy for people, whether it's my age or younger, to kind of give them the tools on that. And because to get in, it's hard. And not a lot of Black people kind of struggle. And I think it's not even Black people. I think just a lot of people are struggling now to get their foot in the market. Rent is starting to get incredibly high now. Yeah. People are being almost kicked out of their house because they can't, their apartments because they can't afford it, you know? And I know a lot of people who are trying to get a home, and it just seems to be getting further and further out of reach.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hearing about something called Forex. You know, people kind of slip through my DMs and say, hey, would you be interested in Forex? And I'm like, what is Forex? And is it something that is like, should I look into it or should anybody look into it?
So I actually have a video.
What are your thoughts on Forex?
Yeah, so I actually have a video on my channel called The Truth About Forex, because I actually tried Forex when I was, I don't know, maybe 20 or something. And same thing as you just said, people were coming in my DMs and they were like, hey, this thing's so amazing. You make money in your sleep, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, like I'm already investing in the stock market. This is just another form of investment. That's cool. And the person who actually DM'd me was someone I would consider a friend, you know, somebody who I spoke to on a regular basis, and I could see that they were making a lot of money in Forex. So I was like, hey, let me try it. So I went and I tried, and basically it's what Forex is you are buying one type of foreign exchange currency and trading it for another type of currency. So you can buy US dollars and trade it for Japanese yen, and the spread between them is how you make money on it. But the thing that so Forex in itself, doing like trading on the Forex markets, is not a bad thing. It's the MLMs that take advantage of people that are the bad thing. So MLMs, for anyone who doesn't know, are multi-level marketing schemes. And they basically try to recruit people. And so the guy who recruited me, every time he recruited someone, he would get paid, basically. It's a pyramid scheme, essentially. It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Okay. But that's not to say Forex is bad, right? It's to say that the MLMs are bad. So people can trade Forex and make lots of money and not be in an MLM. But if you are in an MLM, you may get scammed. So that's what was happening to me. I thankfully didn't recruit anyone, because I never wanted to share anything with anyone unless I truly believed in it. So after about a month, I was like, I'm not making any money in this. What am I doing? And then I left. Thank God I didn't put much money in it. But I know people who put thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and they were just trying to they were focused more on recruiting people than they were on actually trading and making money in trading. So that's my two cents about Forex.
So is it something that you kind of have to pay attention to? Like, do you have to be glued to your phone, a computer?
Yeah, exactly. So the Forex market, or I don't know what you would call it, but it's open 24/7 because it's worldwide, right? You're trading currencies from across the world. So it's not like the stock market that has specific hours during the day. This one is open all the time. So you could be trading 24/7. And what these MLMs do is they'll send you like, hey, buy this and trade this. And they basically say, all you have to do is copy the trades that we send you and you'll make lots of money. But then they would be sending me trades at 3 a.m., at 1 a.m., at, and I'm like, I'm not trading at those times. I'm a lazy trader, you know? So yeah, that's why it wasn't for me. And obviously the MLM structure is pretty predatory. So yeah, would not recommend. But if
we're not agreeing with
that. But if you have the time and energy to dedicate to trading Forex, you can make money again. Just avoid the MLM.
Okay. Yeah. So that's something I'm learning, because I see them, and my biggest scare, I guess you could say, is that it's a pyramid scheme, yeah, and I lose so much money doing it.
Exactly.
So I did want to kind of just bring, that's a good thing that you mentioned, that it's the MLM. So, you know, be aware of what you're putting your money into. And it's like trading, but it's like all day, 24 hours, and you like,
yeah,
stuck to a phone or a screen, I should say. So,
exactly.
Now, would you do trading? So just off of stocks, would you do trading yourself? Or like, do you know people who've been able to trade, or heard of stories of people who have traded and just made money? I guess it's instantly.
Yeah, so good question. A lot of people confuse trading with investing, so maybe I will clarify them. Trading for everyone is like short-term investing, and it's basically like you could buy something today and then in 3 hours you sell it because it's raised up by $3 in price. Whereas I'm the type of person who is an investor, and then I will buy something today, and then when it, in 2 years when it's up $20, then that's when I'm going to sell it. So that's the difference between a trader and an investor. People do make a lot of money with trading, I will say that, but it takes, again, a lot of time and effort, and I am too lazy for all of that. I like to buy and hold. Yeah. I like to buy and hold. Yeah. What about you?
I'm new. Mm-hmm. So I recently subscribed to Wealthsimple.
Nice.
I'm new to this. I think I'm an investor.
Yeah.
Because trading, I am a mother of 2 kids. I have a 9-to-5. I do podcasting as a hobby. I have a lot.
Yeah.
So to constantly be stuck on my phone, I have heard the success stories, I was able to finance my trip based off of trading.
Yeah.
I would love to have that extra time to do it. And maybe I need to carve out time to try it, because that would be nice, you know, to make some extra money to take a trip. I haven't gone on a trip in 7 years. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice. But I'm just as clueless. So I'm walking into this a little blindly, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I am learning, you know. So that's the good part about it. But I would think I'm more of an investor, because I tend to do, here's my money. Walk away.
Yeah. And I think for beginners, I feel like investing makes more sense for beginners than trading does, because trading is just so, how would I word? It's much riskier than investing, because with investing, if you look at the stock market over the past, let's say 100 years, we know that it's always gone up and up and up, but we don't know over the past 2 hours, nobody knows if, like, how the stock market's going to react, right? Like if you were day trading within these past 3 months, how the market has been really turbulent, you probably would have lost quite a bit of money, because the market's just been going down and down and down. But if you zoom out and look at the market over a long period of time, you see that the market has been going up. So I think that's the difference. I don't recommend trading for most people unless you have the time, dedication, and energy to actually, yeah, put effort in it. Yeah.
So what are some great resources that people could either read, or maybe a podcast you might be able to suggest? Like, what, I mean, of course we're gonna plug in your channel, but what other resources can people read up about, especially you know, being in the Canadian markets and all that sort of stuff. What can Canadians read or listen up on so that they can increase their knowledge when it comes to financial literacy?
So some channels on YouTube that I like are Steph and Den. So they are a couple who lives in Toronto and they make content about financial literacy. So I would recommend watching them or listening to them. You can also use The Motley Fool, which is a newsletter or just a website that you can look on to research different stocks and index funds and ETFs. I also like Yahoo Finance and Google Finance. I think those are great places. Another great place is The Peak. So The Peak is a daily newsletter. So if you don't like getting emails daily, probably ignore this. But if you're okay with it, they send out like a bite-sized newsletter about what's going on in the markets each day. And I really like it just because it's like, you know, it's a quick, easy read. And it just gives you a brief overview of what's going on in the markets. Another one that you can look into is Inverse, so INVRS, and that's a new platform that essentially allows you to research different stocks and different things like that. And it's all Canadian, so it's run by Canadians. And again, it's really hard for us to find Canadian content, so I love to plug any Canadian content that I can find. And the last one, it's American, but I would recommend Clever Girl Finance. The concepts that she teaches on there are excellent. And she's also a Black woman. So always love that.
Yes, we got to support. And of course, Rennie, you need to plug your channel.
And you can check out my YouTube channel as well. XO Rennie on YouTube and Instagram. You can check me out there.
Awesome. And so what's the future for Rennie? What does Rennie have for 2022? Let's put it as that. Or even if you want to go beyond that, what's the future for Rennie?
So I'm actually starting a podcast. That's something that's coming out soon. Yeah. So maybe by the time this episode is out, my podcast will be out. But it's called Don't Go Broke Trying. And it's a podcast all about financial literacy. So on my YouTube channel, I talk about all three of those topics, career, finance, lifestyle. But people have told me they're focused on the finance. They want to get their finances right. So I'm starting a podcast that's specifically dedicated to finances and talking about money. So yeah, join me. You can find me on all those platforms where you can find any podcasts.
I can't wait till you drop that. Was that an exclusive or did you already tell me?
I haven't released it, so I guess it's an exclusive.
Yay! I mean, it probably be out by the time this drops, but that's great. I did have another question, mm-hmm. and it's kind of not around the version of financial literacy, just more so you as a YouTuber. So how did you feel to be put on by YouTuber as being one of the five incredible Black Canadian creators and who have received grants from YouTube Black Voice Funds, which was introduced in 2020? What was it like getting accepted into the YouTube Black Voices of 2022? What was that?
Honestly, one of the best moments ever. I actually quit my job in October of 2021. And I quit my job to focus on YouTube because I was kind of burnt out at work. So I was like, let me put all my time and energy into YouTube. I think I can make way more money here than I could make at my job. And so I quit. And the day that I announced that I quit, I actually got the call from YouTube saying that, hey, just by the way, you got accepted into YouTube Black. And I was like, what?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it felt like divine timing, you know? But yeah, so it felt really good, especially because I'm one of five Canadians. So we don't have this is the first year they opened up to Canadians. So I felt really excited. And what really excited me was the fact that I just applied for fun, you know, I didn't apply thinking I could even get in and I got in. So that was really exciting. I'm the smallest creator in Canada and the US, like out of all 50 something of us. So it's a big deal and I'm really excited about it.
So how did that go? Like, did you guys get to go to YouTube's headquarters and Like, what was that? Did anything happen? Did they celebrate you? Or was it because, you know, we're in a pandemic?
Because of the pandemic, unfortunately, no travel. But I guess I was on the YouTube page. Google featured me. I got a lot of press out of it. So that was fun. But yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get to travel anywhere due to COVID.
What's that like now? We've got press coming. Hey, Renny, could you write for our blog TO, or what's that all like coming? Like, you went from working a 9-to-5 to now becoming a creative, and then boom, Black creator voices, and now a whole bunch of opportunities have opened for you. Like, did you have a moment where you're like, this is surreal?
I did, because I actually was looking at my vision board and I saw that 2 years ago I wrote down, or in 2018, I wrote down, I want to be my, or I am my own boss, or something along those lines. And it's like, oh, it came to fruition. So it feels amazing. I always say that I love to talk, and now I'm getting paid to talk. So I don't take it for granted, and I feel really blessed to have the opportunity to do it.
Did you have a moment where you felt like, I think I'm going to be pretty big. Like, I think I'm big right now.
Not yet, to be honest. I'm still kind of like, you know, I'm just a tiny channel, but I know one day I'll be big, you know?
Oh, I know it. I see it. I'm like, I would be surprised if one day I see you on the Brandon Gomez show. Like,
amen. Let's put that into the
world. Oh, I will, girl.
Let's put it into
the world. I literally see up and up for Renny. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I wish you the best. Thank you so much for coming on our episode. We wish you the best for the podcasting. Welcome to podcasting, Renny.
Thank you. I'm excited. I find that it's easier to talk when it's just talking, you know, with the video, you have to like make sure you're looking all good. But now I'm like, this is easy.
I don't like using video. This is why I'm not on YouTube. I don't like the face. I'm not going to lie. I tried YouTube. I'm like, I don't like my face. I'd rather just do audio.
I feel you, honestly. It seems much more chill, so I'm excited to get headed first into it.
So good luck. Thank you again for being on the episode.
A special thanks goes out to Renny for being our guest on today's episode. You can find Renny on YouTube, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. All information will be in the show notes. Don't forget to follow us on our social medias. You can find us on Twitter at @ASOM_podcast, Instagram at @ashotofmelanin, as well as Facebook at @ashotofmelanin. Did you like today's episode or any of our previous episodes? Don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.